Hello, I'm Eric Jansen. Welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. This week, Project Lohan. It's a show now in its West Coast premiere in San Francisco about Lindsay Lohan's life told through found text. Why are so many of us fascinated, obsessed in some cases, with fallen celebrities? Certainly vast segments of the U.S. media are, and not just the tabloids. Project Lohan is a multimedia theatrical experience chronicling the life of Lindsay Lohan, young actress, singer, and tabloid queen, using as its script text from newspapers, magazines, entertainment TV, internet gossip sites, court documents, and recorded telephone calls. Lohan's journey from preteen Disney starlet to convicted felon is reconstructed by a cast of six mostly cross-dressing actors playing more than 60 characters and making a total of 172 costume changes in about 90 minutes. It's funny, outrageous, and disturbing at times, with lots of laughs and, as its producers put it, poignant insights into pop culture, the fragile nature of talent, and the people who surround and exploit it. They also say it's as much about us as it is about her. Project Lohan was created by and stars Darcy Drollinger, who's here with me now to tell us more. Darcy Drollinger, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thank you.
Before we start talking in depth, let's hear this YouTube trailer about Project Lohan. It definitely captures a taste of the show.
At 17, she had it all, with one of the most promising careers in Hollywood. But that was all before. Ripped from the pages of the tabloids comes a story so shocking, so scandalous, so kinda sorta true, you kinda sorta won't believe it. Darcy Drollinger is Lindsay Lohan in Project Lohan. Using only found text from tabloids, magazines, internet gossip sites, and entertainment TV, Lohan's journey from Disney starlet to convicted felon is reconstructed live in an evocative timeline as both classic myth and Shakespearean tragedy. The money, the fame, the feuds, the media-hungry parents, the lesbian lover, the insatiable paparazzi, five trips to rehab, two DUIs, possession of cocaine, shoplifting, and a flagrant overuse of spray tanner.
Did we mention the carjacking?
And there we hear the jail doors clanging shut on Lindsay Lohan. So, Darcy Drollinger, why Lindsay Lohan? What inspired you to create theater about her?
Well, to be quite honest, I didn't know much about her. And, you know, I had heard a little bit, and I couldn't help but know that she was one of those young starlets who was getting in trouble. She had had a DUI, and, you know, her pictures of her passed out in the car splashed on the New York Post and on the different magazines. And a friend had suggested, oh, you should write a play about her life. And I kind of laughed it off. So I was standing in the supermarket in New York, actually, waiting in line. And I saw her on the cover of Vanity Fair, which was actually the second time she was on the cover of Vanity Fair. Picked it up and started skimming the article. And instantly, I could see it kind of coming to life on stage. And so I bought the magazine. I went home and read the article twice. And it was just full of these archetypal characters and so much of this almost Shakespearean drama and in a sense, Greek tragedy of what was happening. And so I set out to toy with the idea of making an outline. And I suddenly realized, you know, it could be written from... It could be written from found text. All the text had already been written. All I had to do was really curate it. And so I started looking at her a little more specifically, and I realized, you know, she's got all of the makings of this modern-day Judy Garland in a way. I know some people would not love me saying
that.
I know.
Judy Garland, how dare you compare our icon.
She was this young... You know, young actress who was so amazingly talented. I mean, I quote a lot of other actresses in the show, Jane Fonda, Meryl Streep, Tina Fey, all just lauding her ability to become so present on screen at such a young age. I mean, if you look...
I have to tell you something. Uh-huh. My nieces, about 2 months ago, said, Eric, you've never seen Mean Girls? And so I thought, well, I've never seen a, and I don't know if this is her best. I'm not saying this is her best. I don't know. Sure. But I was actually quite impressed. And I really didn't know anything about Lindsay Lohan except all the scandal we've heard, you know. And right. I don't usually read the tabloids, but you can't help but hearing about her.
Exactly.
But, you know, she was actually talented in that production. And she was making $7 million a film, and she was before she was 20.
18, yeah. I mean, the crazy thing was, I mean, in Parent Trap, she's amazing. She plays two characters. She plays an American girl and an English girl. And she's so good that when she plays the American girl who's pretending to be the English girl, she has a slightly off English accent that's not as good as her other English accent. I mean, she's really, really, I mean, she was 12 then. And I think, you know, she was the breadwinner for the family. And I think that's what started a lot of this interesting dynamic. I mean, her father was in jail. Her mother was a single mother with four kids, and Lindsay was doing television commercials. She was a print model for Ford, when she was starting at 7 years old.
Do you know how she got into it? I mean, and if her parents were sounds like they're kind of screw ups.
I think the mom saw the sparkle. I mean, Lindsay has star quality, and I think she took her to a couple auditions, and it just started catching on. I mean, she did over 100 television commercials when she was a little girl. So it was, I think when you've got so much power, when you're the breadwinner at 7 and 8 years old, it really is an interesting dynamic. But to go back to Judy Garland, I think why we're fascinated with her is because she's so talented. And, you know, she's grown up on pharmaceutical medication. Judy grew up on the uppers and the downers, you know, and this idea of perform. I mean, when it all started to collapse for her, I mean, she was filming a movie, recording an album. You know, she was the youngest person to ever host the MTV Music Awards. She did all this stuff. She was constantly working. And then while she's constantly working, they let her off on her own, pretty much, with millions of dollars in the bank, living on her own. It fell apart a little bit. But I think it's that same thing where we see this fragile, beautiful, talented actress and just collapsing under the pressure, and we want them to kind of rise up, this hero's or heroine's journey of rising up. And I think that's why we kind of love Judy, in a sense, and Liza. And there is that... there's so much talent, and then there's this broken part of them that struggles, and you want them to just, you know, make it.
Are there other actresses or other sort of fallen Hollywood celebrities who compare with her in a way? I mean, that's why I was wondering, like, you know, Paris Hilton is in your production, and Britney Spears. And
to me, they don't have the same kind of raw talent. There isn't, they are famous, and they too, you know, were part of this whole new media blitz where the paparazzi was on them constantly, and it did kind of crush them, and they've all had their problems with it. But they don't have the same sparkle, in my opinion, and the same artistry that Lindsay is capable of. You know, and a lot of young actors, child actors, do fall apart. You know, some make it. You got the Drew Barrymores, Jodie Fosters. Some can kind of come out of being a child actor and be successful. Jason Bateman, things like that. But a majority of them fall apart. And when they fall apart, they crash and burn and disappear. And what's interesting with Lindsay is she constantly gets up again. There's this amazing resilience and this almost Thelma and Louise attitude that she has where she doesn't stay down. She falls apart and boom, she's back up. And it is amazing and exhausting to watch the process and to live the process on stage.
So I want to play a little clip. This is another short bit from the production Project Lohan. This is you playing Lindsay, but talking about one of her frenemies, Paris Hilton.
This is a video that Paris Hilton hit me. And I'm saying this on tape. She hit me for no reason, apparently, at my friend's house. I didn't know she'd be there, and she hit me with a drink and poured it all over me. It hurts, and it's not okay. And I'm sorry for everyone who thinks I'm crazy, but I'm just trying to act.
So, you know, it's a funny bit, and people laugh. I saw the production last Thursday night, the preview night. But it's kind of, you know, what you're saying is like, she's just trying to act. Yeah. And I mean, I guess, you know, like the way you were talking just a minute ago is how like you're so sympathetic and she's so, got such talent. But the show is it's really a lot of laughs and it pokes a lot of fun at her. if she's the next Judy Garland, I kind of wonder, like, what do you think she would see if she saw it?
Well, you know, I think my goal is definitely to not judge her, but to be more of a send-up of both her and the situation. You know, I think it would be hard to watch for her a little bit because we are, you know, I'm condensing, you know, a large portion over a decade of her life into 90 minutes, you know, and I play more with the absurdity of all the situations more than the absurdity of her. But, you know, it is, yeah, I mean, we're dealing with her collapsing after, you know, heavy partying, all the different rehab stints, the different frenemies and boyfriends and girlfriends and jail sentences. But the ridiculous thing is, like, she goes to jail, but she goes to jail for 84 minutes. You know, like, so there is this...
Shorter than the time of your play, just barely.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, and maybe I would want her to love it. I mean, I think to me it's the best homage when you've got someone doing you in drag, right? You know, I mean, that again, there's the Judy Garland. So there's plenty of Judy drag queens. I think, I don't know if there's any other female impersonators that do Lindsay yet, but.
So actually that brings me to something I wanted to ask you. You're so physically different. I mean, she's not a big girl.
She's tiny.
And I'm not saying you're big, but you're tall. You're both beautiful, of course.
Oh, thank
but,
you.
But you know, so, how does that help or challenge? Does it help your portrayal of her? Oh, I mean, it kind of makes it obviously immediately comedic.
Sure. It, you know, originally when I first set out to write it, I was not planning on playing Lindsay. And it was after getting so deep and after the months and months of research and just collecting all of the information, I didn't know if I could imagine someone else being able to take on the role. And to have the depth of understanding of who she is. So I decided to go for it. And we're not at all like, I'm, you know, a 6'1" middle-aged white guy playing, you know, this little girl who's, you know, at the start of the show, 17, you know, and...
it's amazing what a wig and makeup can do. And where did you find the outfits that seemed to match the vanity? Okay, well, I got to talk to you about the posters for this thing. This photographer, Kent Taylor is his name?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So there's all these posters, and you can see these around town. You can find them on the website, projectlohan.com, and they're all over Facebook, I'm sure. But these photos of, you know, like Vanity Fair and New York Post covers and various other things, pictures from tabloids where Darcy's face has been put in there.
For as many of them as possible, we tried to do the full image verbatim in a very Cindy Sherman kind of way, where we didn't just want to Photoshop the face onto the body, but actually recreate the entire scene. Some of them, obviously, you know, some of the movie posters and things like that. But working with Kent, it was fantastic. We did the Vanity Fair cover. We did the white dress court scene. We did some of the Playboy shots. We did the New York Magazine cover where she does Marilyn. You know, in that process, he's been working with me for this well over a year. I mean, he worked with me prior to the New York run and continued to work building this. So, you know, he's done the photographs, but I really look at him as a collaborator in a sense, because we really he was there from the get-go, you know, committed to working on this project together. So I mean,
and which is also evidence of the fact that it really is a multimedia project in the best sense of the word, where, you know, it's not just theater with a couple little special effects in, but I mean, the posters are all part of the whole overall experience.
Absolutely.
Even before you see the show.
Absolutely. And in the show, you know, we do the all the static images as well as the video images and the live feed. But I've been very careful to never show the real people until the very, very end. I never show Lindsay through the whole show, because the goal is to kind of suspend the belief of the audience for a little while and start you know, get lost in this story. So it's, so you do believe that these are the real people. That's the Paris Hilton, that's the Lindsay, that's the Britney. And then it isn't till the end when we actually do show some images of Lindsay. but yeah, it's creating the 80 plus minutes of visual media was an enormous task, and it really acts as almost another actor in the show because we all work very synergistically with it.
You're tuned to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guest is Darcy Drollinger, the creator and star of Project Lohan, which is at the Costume Shop Theater on Market Street near 7th. I want to give our listeners a hint of the madcap pace of Project Lohan. I was at the preview last Thursday. I recorded this with permission from the third row on preview night, so the audio's quality is not ideal, but I promise it'll sound much better in person. But this will give you a little bit more flavor of the show. And so it's just a little bit after, a minute or two into the show. And Darcy, if you remember, I played this clip before I started recording, but it sounds like it starts with a little bit of tape of Lindsay herself talking about having just had some drug problems, but you're not on stage yet. It's just an audio clip of her, and then it goes into some characters.
It's an audio clip, yeah, and it's based on a tweet that she had tweeted about when she first failed her drug test. Yeah.
You have to hit rock bottom sometimes to get yourself back to the top.
October 22nd, 2004, Lindsay Lohan is hospitalized due to a high fever, forcing the teen to remain in the hospital and to miss several days of filming for her upcoming movie, Herbie Fully Loaded. Lohan's publicist told People Magazine,
"She was wiped out."
Leslie Sloan Zellman, one of the most feared publicists in the biz.
"She's undergoing some tests. She's doing well and resting. Liver swollen, kidney infection, high blood cells accelerating."
Lindsay Lohan, born July 2nd, 1986, is an American actress, pop singer, and model. She began her career at the age of 11 as a child fashion model and appeared in over 100 television commercials, including Pizza Hut and Jell-O. Before making her motion picture debut in Disney's 1998 remake of The Parent Trap at the age of 11. Director Nancy Myers was blown away by her versatility and comedic timing. Even when she was 11, she was focused, centered, and real. Super talented. And she's funny. By 2002, she had starred in two Disney TV movies, Life Size and Get a Clue. In 2003, she scored a big box office success with the Disney remake of Freaky Friday.
Her appearance in that film earned her the Golden Popcorn for Breakthrough Performance at the 2004 MTV Movie Awards, which she also hosted, the youngest person ever to do so. With the release that same year of Mean Girls, a smart, edgy teen comedy written by Tina Fey.
And then there in comes Tina Fey as one of the... So how many characters... You got like six actors playing something like 60 different characters. Tell us a little bit more about how... And there's 172 costume changes. How the heck do you pull that off?
It is an insane show to do. There are so many costume changes and so many wig changes throughout because... Basically, it's all different headlines, and so we are constantly having to bring in new characters. When the show starts, we all check in with all the actors, check in with each other, and then we basically don't see each other during the show unless we're running past each other to grab a prop or grab a costume or grab a wig. So it is as madcap backstage as it is, on stage.
So can you tell us just a little bit more about what's going on in that opening scene that we just heard from? There's obviously pictures going on in the background, the Pizza Hut commercial, the Jell-O commercial, the sound effects of the movies, and then I can't remember who's playing Tina Fey, but it's kind of amazing how quickly someone can pull off a reasonable caricature of someone. Jane Fonda later, I think it's the same actress.
Same actress, not, yeah. Liz Anderson. She's an amazing character actress. And that we worked very hard at casting the show because we needed people who could play upwards of 12, 13 characters. And we needed them to be able to be really comedic and slapstick, but also, as the show progresses and gets darker and darker, we're able to be really kind of really honest about their characters and really go into a darker place. And so the challenge of casting was a process, and I am so happy with who we have. I mean, they are an incredible ensemble of actors.
That wasn't supposed to happen then. See, that's what I told you. This is at KLW Studios.
Now, those are two sounds you hear through the whole show, that because there are these very interesting repeated themes that Lindsay has in her life. Car accidents, which she has so many and continues to have. She has had one last week. But as doing the show and working it out, I realized there are these themes that happen over and over. Car accidents, changing her hair, passing out in different places, going into rehab, getting arrested. And so there is this almost stuck on a habit trail, gerbil wheel or something, where it's just going around and around and around, and each one with a little more intensity, because it's kind of cute when you're 17. It's not so cute when you're 26.
Well, so I just interrupted your stream of thought with the car crash, just like her life is interrupted by car crashes every once in a while. How many car wrecks do you think Lindsay Lohan has been in?
You know, I really should have a definitive answer, and I can't tell you right now. I know that we...
Dozens?
Hundreds? I wouldn't say hundreds, but I would say...
Scores.
Yes. I would say the high teens, mid-20s, you know. I mean, some of them are fender benders. Some of them are more intense than others. She's never been terribly hurt in any of them, but... You know, she's been run into by paparazzi. She's run over paparazzi. I mean, this last one, well, she was filming the Liz and Dick biopic, and during that, she crashed her Porsche pretty badly. Got a new Porsche, and then 3 weeks later, crashed it again on Sunset Boulevard, that time just rear-ending someone at a stoplight. But when that happens, it is fodder for all the tabloids and gossip sites, and it's just, so you know, I've got my Google alert every day for Lindsay, and you know, it's full. It fills up every time she has any kind of a fender bender at all. So but those themes, yes, they run tried and true, and you know, it does, like I said earlier, playing her on stage gets rather exhausting, because it's another hair change. And sometimes she changes her hair three times over a weekend. You know, it is lawsuits are the other thing that are very popular in the Lohan family, too.
So let's hold on to the lawsuit thought. I want to get back to the hair color change for a moment, because here's where I was supposed to play this clip. So every time Lindsay Lohan gets her hair color changed in this production, she comes out and poses. For the paparazzi. And that's not supposed to play yet either.
And yes. Well, I mean, we do that because people make such a big deal. You know, I mean, other actresses and actors can change their hair and maybe it doesn't become the hot, trending, you know, Google or Yahoo story. But for Lindsay, she goes from a different shade of red, and it's all over the place. And you start to wonder, I mean, why? Really, why that happens? I mean, there's a part in the show where, to me, which is the quintessential segment, which talks so much about and says so much about what the show is about, Egypt had its revolution, and Hosni Mubarak stepped down, and the same day Lindsay Lohan went to court in a white dress, and that white dress was the number one Google search. Number three was the Egyptian revolution. And the fact that, at least in the U.S., that those were what people were searching. Her dress was what people were searching more than this huge event in the world, says so much about us. And in that respect, the show is so much of a mirror to look back and reflect at us, almost more so than about Lindsay herself.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It definitely does say more about us, but I also, the cynic in me goes, hey, well, you know, when I log into my Yahoo mail every morning, it has the top five news items, and they're always, you know, kind of dreck. I wonder if they put the white dress on higher than Hosni Mubarak steps down.
You know, that is a very, very good point. And it is what came first, the chicken or the egg. I think about that a lot. Are we demanding this, or are they feeding us all of this and we're just accepting? I don't know. I mean, it is, it's curious to me. And it is, it's still such a new, it's new ground in this modern media, in the modern media, because just not that long ago, there weren't so many gossip sites. There, before, pre-TMZ, pre-Perez Hilton and all of this, there wasn't this frantic need for content. And now, you know, before it was maybe a weekly newspaper, and there were some dailies that were more of the scandalous papers like the Post and things like that, that had to have the daily scandals. But with the new media, it is almost on an hourly basis that they need content. So there's this hunger for as much as possible. And so you wonder, is this a manifestation of what we want, or is it what was just given to us and now we accept it?
I have to play this one last little clip because it's fun.
The thing about the press and why they need to leave me the f*** alone for a little bit is because I don't want that distraction from my work. I want to get a nomination. I want to win an Oscar. I want to be known for something more than just like going out, for being the party girl. I hate that. I bust my ass when I'm filming. And when I get time off, yeah, I like to go out and dance. Being an actress is lonely. I never want to be alone. I hate sleeping alone.
That's Darcy Drollinger portraying Lindsay Lohan in Project Lohan, running now through August 19th at the Costume Shop Theater, ACT's new small black box theater on Market Street near 7th. You can find info at projectlohan.com. There's a discount if you have a criminal record, so let them know about that. We are almost out of time. Actually, we kind of are out of time, but very quickly, you're also playing every Tuesday night in Designing Women Live, one of these retro TV show sitcom reenactments by drag queens at Rebel on every Tuesday night.
Correct.
That's just craziness, but it's fun.
It's really fun. We do two episodes. I do that with Heclina, who does Tranny Shack, Lady Bear, Arturo Galster, Johnny Capp, Marilyn Fowler, and Laurie Bushman. We have a great time. We do two episodes. We do the famous episode where Dixie Carter gives the Night Lights from Out in Georgia speech, which everyone chants along with us. So definitely come down and see us there. We're there through the end of August, and you can get tickets at brownpapertickets.com for that. And I would just like to quickly give a shout out to my actors in Project Lohan. They're just so fantastic. I said Liz Anderson, Allegra Edwards, Michael Patrick Gaffney, Cindy Goldfield, and Sarah Moore, and our fabulous director, Tracy Ward.
Thank you so much. Darcy Drollinger, creator and star of Project Lohan, now in its West Coast premiere at the Costume Shop on Market Street near 7th in San Francisco through August 19th. Find info at projectlohan.com. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. Out in the Bay is proudly supported by Dr. Peter Farmer of San Francisco, providing comprehensive dental care and treating snoring and sleep apnea. Sleep apnea can be life-threatening. Have you been screened? Dr. Peter Farmer of Creelman Farmer DDS, online at cfdds.com. If you missed part of this broadcast, you can hear the whole thing on our website, outinthebay.com. And you can also sign up for free podcasts and get the Stitcher app that lets you hear radio programs on mobile devices. We've been producing Out in the Bay for coming up on 8 years this October. We love your words of encouragement. We could also use your financial support, so go online to outinthebay.com and learn all about that. While you're there, don't forget about matching funds from your employer. Our theme music was composed and performed by San Francisco musician Holly Ann Mead. Learn more about Holly on her blog, hollymead.tumblr.com. We'd love to hear from you with segment suggestions, general comments, and questions. So write to us, Eric at outinthebay.com and Marilyn at outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen, and I am out of time.
Thank you.